Good morning, everybody. I hope everyone has had a wonderful week. I invite you to stand if you would like as we begin worship.
Pray that this morning as we gather to worship together, Lord, that your love would just fill our hearts and then overflow from what you do in us to the world around us, because we know that you love this world desperately and this world needs you so much more than it knows. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, please have a seat. My name is Andrew. If we haven't met yet, I'm the senior pastor here at Columbia Grove. We're thrilled to have you here today. So thanks for taking some time out of your week and making Christ your focus and being a part of a local church. We appreciate it. And even for those of you who are joining us online, also, thank you and welcome. And we're glad to have you here. You know, if there's one thing that, as you get to know Columbia Grove, if there's one value that is just really deeply rooted, it's just that value of service. You know, it's a third of our mission. You know, we describe our mission as a church is to help people become more like Jesus through worship, you know, connecting with God, through connection, through connecting with one another, and through service, connecting with the mission that God has for you in your life. And so today actually is kind of a exciting day from that standpoint because we have representatives from a number of local service organizations here to let us know a little bit about their organization and also to just see how the Holy Spirit might tug on your heart. And so what we'd ask you to do, actually we're going to invite some of the representatives of those organizations to come on up so that as we show a video about each organization, you can kind of see what the representative looks like. And then we've got a bunch of tables in the foyer. If you're in here in person, you've probably seen that already. Online, there'll be you know, a number of just information about all the different organizations showing up kind of on our little news feed, you know, at the close of the service as well. And I would just urge you to find ways to connect, just to be prayerfully watching and prayerfully listening to how the Holy Spirit may be nudging and guiding you to get involved. So with that, I'd like to invite up Nancy from Aletheia Writing Center. So let's see a little bit about what Aletheia is all about.
Life is full. I work hard, love what I do, have a supportive network of friends, and the unconditional love of my family. I'm blessed but busy. As a first grade teacher, my students keep me on my toes. To give them what they need, I must bring energy, creativity, and patience with me to work every single day. Some days are easier than others, and it's not unusual for me to feel completely drained by the end of the day. But despite this, or maybe because of this, I began to recognize a building certainty deep inside that I could do more, give more, and be more. I decided to answer this growing call to give back by volunteering at Aletheia Writing Center. My first day was one of anticipation and excitement, matched by nervous energy that my hectic and fast-paced life would somehow limit my time and energy to serve. I knew very little about equine therapy, but quickly learned that didn't matter. As I took a deep breath and stepped into the arena for the first time, my eyes met those of the sweetest 3-year-old girl, and I knew I was exactly where I wanted to be. Cora is a bright, kind, and funny young girl who rides weekly at Aletheia. For her, it's hard but essential work. I instantly recognize the determination and joy written on her young face, having witnessed it countless times during my years in the classroom, and committed to what I could do to help her grow and achieve every week. 4 years later, I'm still proud to walk alongside her, witnessing her milestones, triumphs, challenges, and determination. It's not only a highlight of my week, but an honor and an inspiration. In the arena with Cora and the rest of the team, the chaos and noise of the outside world falls away. For 1 hour each week, we walk, we laugh, and learn together. And while I have played a small part in Cora's therapy and growth, she has played a large part in mine. I'm reminded that patience, love, and connection are the keys to a blessed existence. Priorities are realigned and gratitude is shared. Cora reminds me weekly of the greatest lesson of all, that the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others.
Thank you. No, we'll just stand for just a moment. There we go. Yeah, so if any part of that video tugs at your heart, you make sure to talk to Nancy right after the service, and she'll be eager to answer your questions and get you connected. Yeah. So let's give her a hand again. And we wanted to let you know a little bit. Here's our next organization, and it is called the Green Bag Program. So let's find out a little bit more about that.
Did you know that one in every four children in Chelan and Douglas counties go to bed hungry? Have you wanted to help your community through these tough times? The Chelan Douglas Community Action Council Green Bag Program is a simple, easy way to make a major impact in your community right from your doorstep. When signing up for the Green Bag Program, you will receive our reusable green bag. Then you will fill up your reusable green bag with non-perishable items and other donations. Every 2 months, one of our Community Action volunteers will pick up your filled green bag from your household and return an empty new one to start the process again. With your donations, our food distribution center is able to serve over 21,000 community members a month, totaling over 3 million pounds of food a year. Our Green Bag program is the best way to help your community in need while staying in COVID safety guidelines. Signing up is as simple as our program. Go to cdcac.org/greenbags and sign up there. You can also call us at 509-662-6156. We hope to see you joining our Green Bag Program or in our community. Have a safe and happy new year.
Yeah. So if you have a passion for feeding people, you really need to talk to Karen.
Okay.
And so she's going to be at the table in the back to answer all of your questions. And the information about Green Bag Program can be found by Googling the phrase Green Bag Program or by following the address that you can see on the screens. All right. Well, let's give her a round of applause again. And our third organization is called Safe Families for Children. So let's find out a little bit more about that as Sherry comes up.
Hi, Columbia Grove. My name is Sherry Mott, and I am so excited for this opportunity to tell you about the Ministry of Safe Families. A few years ago, my husband and I got involved with foster care and learned there are approximately 10,000 kids in Washington State in care. Some kids report that being removed from their homes is more traumatic than being abused. While in some cases, removal is the only course of action, many cases could be avoided if parents had support. Safe Families is a volunteer-driven nonprofit that provides hope, support, and biblical hospitality to local families in crisis. It's not a program, it's a movement of people willing to step up and love like Jesus. Founded 18 years ago, Safe Families has facilitated over 50,000 hostings for at-risk kids. There are over 100 chapters, and the movement has spread to the UK and Canada. Safe Families has prevented thousands of kids from needing to be removed from their homes by surrounding their family with caring, compassionate community. Safe Families brings church and community together and mobilizes volunteers with the goal of family preservation and a 95% success rate. For context, that's nearly double the reunification rate of foster care. We were made for community. The last year has made us even more aware that it is not good to be alone. We weren't meant for social distance, and when we face crisis, we need our community more than ever. God's desire that we show hospitality is a common theme throughout Scripture, but the biblical word has a much deeper and often more difficult meaning than just inviting our friends over for dinner. The kind of hospitality that Jesus invites us into is to go out of our way to love and care for strangers like family. Sometimes the very best way to love our neighbor is to be next to them, to simply let them know they're not in it alone. Real love happens when we move toward people we are most tempted to avoid. What if all it took to become the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and the city on the hill is to move into our communities to care for the needs of the most vulnerable? As we move into all that Jesus has for us, we will find biblical hospitality to be far more radical and beautiful than we could have imagined. We understand that not everyone can host. There are many ways to get involved, and we'll provide the training you need. We are looking for resource friends, family friends, coaches, implementing organizations, office space, and prayer partners. In an age of isolation, fear, and judgment, my hope is we can work together to use the talents and gifts God has given each of us to create a place of love, belonging, and community where others can grow too.
So if families are your passion, Sherry is somebody you're going to want to talk to. So she and her lovely family, there's a table after the service, so make sure to go to her and just ask her questions. Ask how you can get involved with helping families in crisis. So thank you so much, Sherry. So our fourth organization is one called Life Choices, Real Options. So as Kim's coming up, let's find out
a little bit more about what they do. We're forced to make tough decisions every day, but sometimes those choices are harder than others. Say there's an unplanned pregnancy. There's a lot of different directions, and unfortunately, every year in the United States, over 1 million women listen to the voice telling them to abort. But Life Choices offers a different voice, a voice of hope. At Life Choices, we provide medical services, education, and support for women experiencing unplanned pregnancies by addressing a woman's physical, emotional, and spiritual needs.
Life Choices helps women to remove the shackles of shame and to experience true freedom and redemption found in Christ.
Hi, I'm Kim Hudgens, the Executive Director. As the body of Christ, we've all been called to be a part of God's redemptive work in the lives of the women and the men and the children that He sends us. Here at Real Options, we provide a compassionate, non-judgmental refuge where people can receive quality, evidence-based health care.
Hi, my name is Connie, and I'm the nurse manager at Real Options Pregnancy Medical Clinic. So we offer many services at our clinic, including free STI testing. We offer free pregnancy tests, and we also offer free ultrasounds to clients.
So my name is Jay Bruner. I'm on the board of Life Choices in Wenatchee Valley. The ministry there and the people that work at that clinic are incredibly gracious and tremendous at listening to their difficulties and their challenges.
Our advocates are trained extensively on how to help our clients move beyond the overwhelming stress and pressures that she's feeling to be able to make a sound decision based on hope and truth. We want to partner with you, the church, to provide the hope of Jesus Christ and a lifelong community.
The education program is incentivized by a piece of baby equipment. So if a client comes in and they complete 12 education modules, then they get to select a free piece of baby equipment for them.
Research shows that 43% of women of childbearing age have experienced an abortion. They carry an incredible burden while wearing a smile on their face. Most feel they're not allowed to talk about their experience because it was their choice, so they suffer in silence. Our 7-week Bible study called Surrendering the Secret is a safe place where women can talk with others who understand their pain and who can walk with them toward the journey of healing and restoration.
We recently learned that there are 200 to 400 Google searches in the Wenatchee area every month for abortion services. Women facing an unwanted pregnancy experience a psychological death of self. It can be seen as a death of their dreams and their hopes and their plans and their very identity to the point that all options seem bad to them. And in her fear, abortion can look like the best short-term solution. We want women experiencing an unwanted pregnancy to know that life is not over. Her hopes and her dreams and her plans are not dead, and that she has a divine identity and destiny. My question to you, the church, is will you partner with us in God's redemptive work? 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that our Father has committed to us the message of reconciliation, and we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. Will you be that ambassador of reconciliation with us? For more information, you can call us at 509-664-5298 or go to our website at lifechoiceswenatchee.org.
All right, well, thank you. So if helping moms and babies is your passion, you need to talk to Kim, you need to talk to Ingrid, and they're going to be at tables in the back, or just contact them via the information you see on your screen if you're joining us online. But But my prayer for all of us, let's just give Kim a hand. And I'd like to invite Michelle to come up with from our Outreach and Missions Committee. She's going to lead us in prayer. But I would just urge you, I mean, the reason why we do things like this is to give people opportunities to get some input on some of the possibilities for serving in our valley. God has called all of us to be involved in his kingdom work around us, that each one of us would just say, Lord, is this the place you want me to serve? And then as he leads, as the Holy Spirit directs, that we would just be obedient to that. So I would just urge you today to be listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and asking God, Lord, do you have something to say to me today about how you would like me to be involved? All right. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for leading us in prayer. And let's bow our hearts and our heads and just come to the Lord.
Hello, church family. I hope you'll all come and enjoy some coffee and some goodies after church today. We get to open the coffee bar. Okay, so will you all pray with me? Father, each of us here today and online has something to offer. We can give our money and our time to charity, be a friend to someone who is sick or lonely, do volunteer work, or be a peacemaker, teacher, or minister. It would seem that the more we give to others, the poorer we become. But just the opposite is true. Service to others brings meaning and fulfillment to our lives. As Jesus said, "For if you give, you will get. Your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more and running over." We ask your favor over our guests today, as they have told us about the ways they are giving and loving like Jesus. This is demonstrated in each one of these videos we see today. First, we want to give you our praise over all the different facets of people you have brought together to help those in need. We ask that you continue to work in each of the volunteers' lives and supply them with the strength, endurance, and compassion that can only come from you. During the video for Aletheia, we learned from Mrs. Smith that her priorities are realigned, gratitude is shared, and a lesson that the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. From Safe Families, that providing hope, support, and biblical hospitality to local families in crisis will result in family preservation. Hosting at-risk children and facilitating family unity is the best way to love our neighbor and simply let them know they are not alone. From Life Choices, we learn what it means to provide compassionate, non-judgmental refuge where people can receive quality, evidence-based health care. Those advocates provide a safe place where women can talk with others who can understand their pain and who can walk with them toward the journey of healing and restoration. And grab a baby bottle on your way out. And with Green Bags, we learn a simple way to provide food to the community at 21,000 members a month without having to leave your doorstep. As Pastor Andrew said, every place that we love and serve our neighbor is part of God's reconnecting work in the world. In this very confusing era, Lord, we ask for your direction, your understanding, your hearing, something tangible that we know is coming from you, and most of all, your love, so that we may each follow in step, giving however we may each be able to give. Some have wealth, some have talent, some have time. Whatever gifts we have been given, large or small, we should share generously. Thank you, Lord, for bringing each of these groups of people to share with us how we might contribute. Help us live our life with the same generous spirit you have. Lead and guide us toward faithful stewardship of our time and resources. Help us to be a blessing to others. Help our priorities to stay in line with yours. Please help each of us to experience the joy and freedom that generosity always makes possible. We pour out our praise to you and thank you for your sacrifice on our behalf. The sacrifice you made led us to our salvation. In fact, it is because you suffered that you can draw near to those who are experiencing suffering. We ask you, Jesus, to lead each of us to know how best to serve you as we serve in our community. Father, we lay these prayers, our congregational prayers, to you at the cross. We pray for Susan Lett's mother as she awaits test results and diagnosis. Give Susan's mother comfort and peace as she waits. We pray for Brant Capel's uncle as he faces cancer. We pray for the Beck's grandson-in-law, Joel, as he seeks relief from a painful and rare adrenal disorder, and for their daughter, Kim, who is recovering from asthma and a mild heart attack. We pray for Linda Belton as she recovers from illness and surgery. You are the great physician, and we ask you to use your healing powers over each one of these. We pray for our children's ministry as it reopens to in-person children's church. We ask you to help us keep the children safe. Give us protection over the children and be able to enjoy learning about you and the Bible while having fun. We ask for a prayer and a blessing over Pastor Andrew as he has prepared a message for us. We ask for the Holy Spirit to work in Pastor Andrew that we may hear your message through him. Today's message is about needing connection with you, Father. As we receive Pastor Andrew's message, may we understand and really see what it means to reconnect. Our hope is that you will guide us to love like you have taught us to love. Help us to be ambassadors of reconciliation with our families, our church, our community, and our world. We come together today in unity for you, Father God. We know your timing's perfect, even when we don't understand everything that's going on or how things will work out. Help us to patiently wait on you and learn to enjoy each and every moment of our lives, knowing that you are in complete control. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for leading us, Michelle. And let's just move into a time of worship. That's what we're here for, is to connect with the Lord. So if you're in the room, I just invite you to stand. If you're at home, I just invite you to find that posture of prayer and praise, whatever that looks like. And for many, that'll be standing. And if sitting is more appropriate, that's good too. But more than anything, let's just focus our hearts on Him. Lord, fill us during this time. We turn our hearts to you. We turn our attention to you. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is right here with us today. Meet us, move in us, fill us, send us, use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our team, lead us in worship, and thank you.
Jesus, light of heaven, reign forever, our kingdom come. So don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high, don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from.
Well, thanks, Ben. Thanks, Ben. Hey, have a seat. Have a seat. I'm just going to get my little office set up here. This is where I could possibly remind you that there's a yard sale happening in a couple of weeks. Okay, got my really high-tech sermon illustration ready to go. Okay, we're all set. Okay. So if you were to look on the average news feed, cable news network, something like that, what would they likely tell you is the greatest problem in the world today? You'd probably get all sorts of different answers, wouldn't you? Probably depends on which news feed you're watching and which cable news network. But, I mean, some would say your greatest problem in the world right now is politics. Some would say it's environmental. Some would say it's race relations. Some would say it's economic. Many would say it's medical. We've got lots of things, and all of those, there's validity to all of those, and people will rank them at different orders. But one thing you will not see on the cable news, and you probably won't see very much on your social media, unless you happen to be friends with a lot of Christians, is that the Bible answers that question, what is the most pressing problem in the world today, in a very, very different way than our world does. It actually points to a problem that is underneath all the others. Now, that doesn't invalidate all the other problems. It says actually there is a root problem that ends up causing all the rest of them and making all the rest of them worse. And one of the ways you could put that is like this. The number one problem in the world is that people are disconnected from God. People are disconnected from God. Would you agree with that? In other words, the prize creation, humanity, is disconnected from the Creator. Have you ever worked in an organization? You don't raise your hand on this one. I've worked in an organization where maybe the owners and middle management stop talking to each other and we're no longer working together on the same page. How do things go for that organization, that workplace? Have you ever been in an environment where middle management, things were bad? Okay, no hands, just you can just nod your head like, oh my gosh. So what would happen in an organization like that? You know, in Genesis 1 and 2, I mean, as humanity was created, they were given responsibility to rule over creation, to be stewards of the garden. We're not the owners, we're not the creator, but we've been given authority. And so even as we look at the world around us, and because people are disconnected from God, it results not only in pain to us as humans, but also the non-human creation as well. It's a mess. People are disconnected from God. It's the number one problem in the world. We've been using this phrase because throughout this series, just to help us remember from that perspective what the primary purpose of the church is. And I should say today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you got your Bibles. I hope you do. Is the church, or that stores exist to serve customers, right? Schools exist to teach students. But churches exist to reconnect people with God. It's our primary purpose. One of the things we love about this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in this series, we're spending about 6 weeks on six verses, and we're just going through them from different angles and perspectives and just going deep, reading them from different translations, just because the different translations from the original Greek help us to see different nuances of meaning. Today, we're actually going to be reading from the New International Reader's Version. There's a version of the Bible that was written so that all the vocabulary used in it, it's supposed to be understandable to a 10-year-old or less. So I love it. It's fantastic. So if you want to, like, could there be a Bible that doesn't use any big confusing words? Yes, there is. And it's good. And it helps us to understand God's word better. Anyways, we're going on a deep dive in this because the unique way that this passage puts the primary mission of the church, you know, as it talks about what it means to be in ministry and in outreach and hospitality and in evangelism and discipleship and fellowship and all the different things that the church does. And it helps us to understand our mission as followers of Jesus more clearly because it puts all of this in a relational context. So we're just going to read the passage as a whole, again, from this time from the New International Reader's Version, and then we're going to do a deep dive on verse 18. So let's read it all together. So starting with verse 16, then through verse 21. So from now on, we don't look at anyone the way the world does. At one time, we looked at Christ that way, but we don't anymore. When anyone lives in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Can I get an amen? Anybody ever experienced that? The new life that comes through Christ. All this, verse 18, is from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross. And he has given us the task of bringing others back to him through Christ. God was bringing the world back to himself through Christ. He did not hold people's sins against them. God has trusted us with the message that people may be brought back to him. We are Christ's official messengers. Isn't that a great way to put it? Look at your neighbor. Do they look official? They are. Do you feel official today? You are. So we, if we believe God's word, if we're a follower of Christ, if we're trying to actually do the things that the scriptures teach us to do and follow the Savior, we are Christ's official messengers. It is as if God is making his appeal through us. This is what Christ wants us to beg you to do. Come back to God. Christ didn't have any sin, but God made him become sin for us so we can be made right with God because of what Christ has done for us. So, let's do a deep dive on verse 18. All of this is from God. So, who's the one who works our reconnection with the Lord? Who's the primary mover? It's not you? Are you sure? Because think of all the times you told yourself, when I just get my life together, then I will follow Jesus. So, but who's doing all the work? Who's it? Not you? You sure? Absolutely? Yeah. We have a hard time with that one, don't we? All this is from God. He brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross. And that's why I wanted to bring out this illustration. I know this one is simple, but I like simple illustrations, okay? Now, there's power plug, lamp cord. But there's a problem with this lamp cord, isn't there? What's the problem with the lamp cord? Can you see? What's the problem with the lamp cord? It's got a big chunk of Play-Doh on the end of the lamp cord. That's what it does. Big, squishy chunk of Play-Doh on the end of the lamp cord. So, let's say I wanted to plug the lamp in. How would it go? Is it going to work? Why? Because there's a piece of Play-Doh on the end of the plug, you moron. That's right. That's right. You can say that. That's what you were thinking in your head. I shouldn't use that word in church. I will try to refrain. But you think about using those. Anyways, there's a piece of Play-Doh on the end of the plug. So can we just, what if we just told this plug, get rid of the Play-Doh plug? If you were a good plug, you would know how to get rid of all your Play-Doh. I am disappointed in you. I mean, from all that we have invested in you from this fantastic yard sale find, you should have your life cleaned up by now. What's the problem what's the solution for this plug? Somebody needs to take the Play-Doh off the plug. And all this is from who? God. From God. All this is from God. He has brought us back to himself. Let's put that verse back up on the screen. All this is from God, who has brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross. Now, the big idea in Christianity, and I know you may have heard this before. I hope you've heard this before. Is that, see, all of us, we've got Play-Doh on our plug. We've got sin that separates us from God. We were designed for connection with God, but there's a problem, isn't there? We've got sin. We've got all the things, that rebellion in our heart, the times we wanted to go our own way. So whether that's pride, whether that's excessive willfulness, whatever it is, or fear, all of the stuff, all of the ways we rebel against God, all the ways we turn our backs on him, it keeps us from connecting, and there's nothing that we can do on our own. I don't care how many hours of Oprah we put this lamp in front of, it's not going to get the Play-Doh off the plug. We could put them in the self-help section at the local bookstore, and we could say, just read the whole thing, would you? But it's not going to get the Play-Doh off the plug. It requires intervention. That's Jesus. As Jesus died on the cross, now this is where the illustration falls down a little bit, because honestly, Play-Doh is not that gross. But our sin sure is. And for you and for me and for us and for all humanity, Jesus bore all of our sin on himself as he died on the cross. When he said, it is finished, he meant it. And because our sin has been forgiven, redeemed, paid for by Jesus, amazing things can happen. You want to, you're ready? You're ready for this technological breakthrough? Here we go. Isn't that great? We were made for connection with God. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the cord, you are the lamp. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do? Nothing. Nothing. And so if you think of the world as, and the people around us as hundreds and hundreds and thousands and millions and billions of lamps, all of them, all of us, every person who was ever born, who is ever thought of, who is ever a twinkle in their parents' eye, it's made for connection with God. And the greatest tragedy of the world is that for many, if not most, Well, for all of us, we start off life disconnected. And the greatest moment in our life and the greatest decision we can make is when we recognize our need. We recognize the gift that Christ gave. And we begin to reconnect. And we begin to reconnect. Jesus said, let your light shine before people. And let them to see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And we remember that every piece of light that shines, everything in our lives that can make a difference in the world around us, it all comes from a power source that is not our own. And so then we move to the second half of that verse. And that's the part I wanted us to talk about today. And so he has given us the task of bringing others back to him through Christ. So we are his agents of, some translations use the phrase reconciliation. Bringer backers, I guess if you were to use the New International Reader's version, you are a bringer backer. Or in the language that we're using with this series, we are a reconnector. That's not just what you're saved from. Here's what you're saved from. Want to see that? Here's what you're saved from. And what we are saved for is for connection with God and then to help others make that connection as well. He's given us the task of bringing other people back to him through Christ. So what I hope we could just spend a few moments on is so, you know, how has God set you up? How has God set up your life to be a reconnector? Somebody that helps other people to reconnect with God. So I want to ask a few questions that may be helpful for you. And maybe you've encountered things like this before, but it's good. It's good, especially after a year like this past one where, for many of us, life kind of turned more inward. We needed to kind of adopt some sort of survival and emotional survival techniques to get through a really, really tough time. So it's important to come back even to some of these fundamental questions so we remember what life is really all about. So here's a good question to be asking yourself. What is something that you are naturally passionate about? What are the things you just cannot help but care about? Who here had a horse poster up in their bedroom when they were a teenager or lower? Yes! And some of you, you still have that horse poster stored somewhere, don't you? I can think of at least one local organization where a passion for horses and a passion for helping people can come together really, really well. That's what I'm talking about. So who here is just passionate about feeding people? Loves to feed people. My dear wife, she's going to put her hand up high. This is one thing that drives my honey and at the core. She loves to feed people. I can think of at least one. There is more than one, but I can think of at least one local ministry that might deserve your attention. For those of us who are passionate about families, who want to see families thrive and recognize that sometimes families go through hard times and just being there for people in those hard times can make a profound difference. There's at least one ministry in the valley that you should probably find out something more about. You should find yourself passionate about babies and moms. Oftentimes, that's God's call in your life. You know, sometimes the flip side of that can be true as well, the idea of what are the things that really bother you? Like, what gets under your skin? What are the injustices in the world that you're like, oh, somebody's got to do something about that? You know, oftentimes, when we take our complaint like that to the Lord, the reason why he's put such a passion in your heart around that issue of justice is because he's uniquely set you up to make a difference in that area. A second good question is, what does your life situation make possible? So maybe you're moving into retirement and you have greater degrees of discretionary time. You know, but it can also be a good thing to be thinking about when you're in those seasons of life where you have very little discretionary time. You know, you're that young parent and you're just raising a child, and just to remember that you know, God is intimately familiar with your life situation. So your family life, your job life, all of the things, God is intimately familiar with that situation. And wherever you are in life and whatever situation in life you find yourself to, he has also uniquely wired you to have ways that you can make a difference in those environments. So with where I am in life right now, with the time I have, with the resources I have, with the abilities that I have, with what I can do right now, Lord, how can I surrender those to you? So what's your unique life situation? And how does that factor into how you might serve? But it does. Thirdly, and this gets down to gifting as well, is what do others tell you that you are good at? What do others tell you that you are good at? Because oftentimes we can't actually see our own, at least our strengths. We don't see ourselves all that clearly. But the people around you, especially those who are around you and love the Lord and love you, they do. So ask them. It's one among 1,000 reasons why it's good to be in some sort of a connection group or a life group or a long-term group Bible study so you can just get to know one another well. That's why it's important to nurture and develop those Christian friendships, because it's going to be those people that will see your capacity in ways that often you can't. So what do the people around you tell you that you are good at? Because the question that, it kind of gets me excited, gets my blood pumping in the morning, and gets me thinking about how grateful I am to be part of a local church, is what could happen? What do you really think could happen in this world if each of us did our part? Sometimes people say, I just really don't have a ministry, or especially like reconnection. I'm not a speaker. I'm not a communicator. Here's maybe a helpful way of thinking about some of that kind of stuff. Now, some of us are called to be communicating in larger numbers. We're like an assembly line of reconnection. We're just giving out the messages everywhere. And some, with where you are in life, your primary connection with other people is just going to be with one or two or three or four. It's going to be a smaller circle that's based on personality, that's based on life situation, that's based on gifts and talents. But if you are given the choice between something that is factory produced on an assembly line and something that's custom built, which one has greater value? Oftentimes it's the custom built. So if you find yourself in a situation where you might be lamenting, I'm not really good with lots of people, or just realize that you're a custom builder. God has given you unique gifts and passions and talents and abilities and resources to make a difference in this world. Just imagine what would happen if each one of us did our part of lights, to use that metaphor, of people lighting up all over the place. There's plenty of big problems in the world. You or me on our own, we are not strong enough or smart enough or resourceful enough to take care of all of it. There's no single-handed hero in the world. We don't even need one because there already is one. But as you and I and we follow Christ, as we connect with him, we're spending time in the Word. We're spending time in prayer. We're getting honest with the Lord. And we seek him together on how he's wired us up individually and then collectively for service. Incredible things can happen. You know, one of the final words that Jesus said to his disciples before he went to the cross is that you'll do some of the things that I did, but you'll do even greater things. You'll do even greater things. I remember when I first read that in the Bible, I was thinking, that is just nuts. Because, like, I mean, I've never met somebody, and I certainly don't feel like I would ever be that person that could do all the things that Jesus did. You know, he fed 5,000 people, he walked on water, he healed the sick. I've seen signs of little things like that. I've seen little miracles like that. I've seen God do remarkable things in situations, but I can't do any of that. But that's not what Jesus meant. He didn't mean that you would do the things just like he did, only greater. He meant that we. Think right now of how many people on the planet right now have had their lives saved or extended by hospital care. Especially in the past year. I mean, access to hospitals is... it's just critical. Do you know where hospitals came from? Do you know who started the first hospitals? Do you know whose followers they were? Realize the hospital, even word for hospital, comes out of hospitality. Who taught us that? And as millions and billions of people followed Christ and followed his example, right now, in this moment, the very thing that Jesus said would happen is happening. Just imagine what can happen if all of us do our part. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you that you have met us in our places of disconnection. Lord, thank you that you did everything needed so that we could reconnect with you. Oh God, help us even in these moments, even with wherever we're coming from in life right now, help us to connect with you deeply this morning. And Lord, as we connect, thank you that you lead and guide, that you provide. That God, you have a plan for each and every one of us. Lord, I don't want to miss out on your plan for me. Lord, help each one of us to seek you for how you are calling us to serve, how you are calling us to be a reconnector in this world. Thank you that all of this is a gift, that all of it is from you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, in these next moments, we have an opportunity to participate in something that really is all about reconnection. Where we're reminded, and here's where... you know, if you're at home, I invite you to take out some communion elements, some bread, some juice from somewhere. If you're here in the building, hopefully you received one of these packets. If for some reason you didn't, just put up your hand, and one of our amazing ushers will make certain that you have one. But see, here in these simple elements, in this bread and in the juice, and you know, just keep your hands up if you're still looking for one. Yeah, there we go. Somebody over here, some folks over here. All right. You guys are like ninjas. You make it past our ushers. You're way to go. That's cool. Okay. Made it past them. That's good. Here, even in these elements, in this bread and in this cup, we're reminded of our need, and we're reminded of what God did on our behalf, and we're reminded of what it cost Jesus to give us that gift. Because on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, and it's given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And he is coming again. And so what I would invite us to do in these next few moments is to partake of the elements. But as we do, you know, we're not in a season right now where we can do some of the, you know, where everybody, we all share from the same communion plates and all that stuff like we've done in the past. I'm looking forward to that day again. But here's something we can do. Is as you partake, look somebody in the eye. They might be across the aisle from you. They may be somebody you know really well or someone you don't know all so well yet. But say to them, "This is Christ's body. It's given for you." Say to them, "This is Christ's blood, and it's shed for you." So Lord, as we serve one another in this way, as we remember what you did for us, God, would you fill us with your Spirit again, afresh? Reconnect us to you in all the ways in our lives where we get disconnected. Help us to never forget what you did for us and what that means for us now in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So partake and serve one another. Christ's blood given for you.
People come together, strangers, neighbors, our blood is one. Children of generations.
Part of that song again? Let's stand together. Let's stand. Come on.
Come together, strangers, neighbors, our blood is one. Children of generations, of every nation, of kingdom. Come together, strangers, neighbors, our blood is one. Children of generations, of every nation, of kingdom.
Let's sing the rest of that part, but look somebody in the eye as we sing this.
Let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high, don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from.
Let's join together in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. I invite you to pray these words out loud if you're joining us from home. Pray these words out loud, no matter how weird that might be, because sometimes just praying things out loud remind us when our soul is tempted to think that we're in this on our own. It helps us to remember that we're in this together. We've been called to Christ's work together because he's not just my Father, he's our Father. Let's pray that together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, say it out loud, come on, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so, Lord, as we go from this place, Lord, help us to go with people who know that we have been sent by you, as that we are your official messengers. We are your ambassadors. We are your reconnectors. We are the bringer backers. Lord, thank you for bringing us back to yourself. Lord, help us to share that good news with a world that desperately needs to hear it. So show each one of us what our part is in your great mission in the world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I invite you, there's going to be representatives of the various organizations in the foyer. Take some time there and talk to some of them. And we'll also go put a few questions up on the screen just so as you're talking to one another, as maybe talking with the person that you came with, just to take a moment to check in with one another so that the things that God is challenging you to and the things that are on your heart, that we just don't miss out on that. So go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. See you next week. Love like Jesus.